Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Dream On podcast. This is your host, Jennifer, and this is part two of our little Q&A series that we're in the middle of right now. This is the second and final episode in this mini series, and today I will continue to read some of the questions that you guys sent in to me and hopefully help you get some answers. I want to thank everyone who sent in questions because I know that for some people it can be a little bit anxiety-inducing to send those in. So thank you very much for sending them to me because I do need them to know what you guys want me to talk about, and it helps me to kind of direct my focus towards things that I know you guys are interested in because you're my audience and I want to know what you want to listen to. So thank you very much for that. Also, for everyone who's listening to these in real time and not like in the future where they can maybe listen to them right in a row, you may notice that there has been a few weeks in between these where I didn't record and I didn't post anything. And that's because my midterms just happened. And also I had like my grandmother visit from out of state. I had a birthday in my family. There were just like a lot of things that were going on. So I just didn't really have time to podcast, but I'm back to it now, getting out this episode. It's going to be good. And like I said, I have some good questions from you guys to answer. So thank you for your patience. It's going to be good. Let's get into it. So this person asks if I have any experience with the wild technique, and if so, do I have tips to help them with it? Yes, so I was able to successfully use this technique one time, and that was after trying it for a significant amount of time. I'm not sure how many days it was, but I want to say that it was not quite a week, but it was like up there, which I know for a lot of people is not a long time, but for me it was because I already lucid dream normally. So for me, it was kind of like, you know, just testing out the technique for exploration purposes, I suppose, and also for you guys. So I was able to use this technique one time. And just to remind everyone what this technique is, this technique is where you're trying to hold on to your consciousness when you're awake. It is a wake-induced lucid dream. And so you're essentially trying to hold on to your consciousness, and that is like your presence of mind as you're sinking into sleep and eventually sinking into a dream. So you're like, typically people will like kind of like, you try to lay on your back and you'll like try to relax into sleep. And in some cases, people will like wake up early in the morning and like get up for a while and then go back to bed and try to do this. Or you can try to do this just like right at the beginning of the night, which is what I did, and just try to fall into it like right when you go to sleep the first time. So there are lots of variations in sort of like strategies for this, but just the basic bare bones of it is just wake-induced lucid dream. So you are awake and then you're asleep, but you're still thinking. And so like you never kind of lose that, like your mind processing abilities. You don't really like lose consciousness. You just fall into a dream. And for me, at least, I know that that actually was not technically true because I know that I did kind of fall into like the gray space of sleep before stepping out into the dream. And what's interesting is that when I did fall into the dream, I physically stepped out into it. And that was the first sensation and like visual that I had when I got into the dream, was actually stepping into it. And that's not normally how dreams start for me, because I'm someone who can remember dreams from beginning to end, a lot of them. And that is not a typical way for a dream to begin. Typically, I'm just standing somewhere in the dream or I'm sitting there already. There's not this sort of like feeling of an entrance. But in this particular dream, there was a very vivid and specific feeling of entry. And I was in the dream. So in terms of specific tips, I would say that like all lucid dreams, this technique is one that can disrupt your sleep patterns and make you feel really, really not good. And just to remind everyone, the more tired you are, the less easy it is to have a lucid dream, because it's really hard to focus on things like reality and like the material nature of the world around you when you're exhausted. So get your sleep schedule right, be sleeping well, don't be like stressed about this, because if you're stressing about, oh my gosh, like if I don't have a lucid dream, I'm a failure or whatever it is, then you're putting all that pressure on yourself, and that actually just adds to your inability to become lucid, because if you have all this stress, then it's like, it's just something else that like takes up brain power. Like it's going on in the background all the time, and it makes it so that you can't think as clearly. And you're also probably not thinking about things just like in as much depth. So, but that's, I mean, that applies to all lucid dreaming techniques. For Wild specifically, I know that for myself, when I was falling into it, I could see like the hypnagogic illusions that start to happen when you go to sleep, which is like random images and lights and colors and sounds. And like, you just have to let it all go by, which can be quite challenging to do. But this whole technique really does center around relaxation and letting your body calm down. And I think the challenge with this one is that people also don't realize that you have to let your mind calm down too, because they're like, well, you know, if I calm down too much, then I'll just go to sleep. And that's true. But it's about finding the balance of like how much you can kind of let your brain still shut off. Because remember, you actually do have to fall asleep. And so if you're just sitting there totally awake inside your head, then you're not going to go to sleep. You're going to fall into like sleep paralysis, which is actually a danger of this technique. So you do not want to fall into sleep paralysis. You actually need to go to sleep. So for me, it really helped to be rehearsing like a mantra as I was falling into this dream, and thinking about like what I really wanted to do, and just keeping that in the forefront of my mind. And even when I was seeing the images in front of my eyes and stuff like that, I was just calmly kind of focusing on my mantra and what I wanted to do, and just repeating it inside my head. And then I was able to fall into the dream after a short time of being actually like asleep in the gray space. So I hope that that's helpful. After this, I'll go back and try to find the episode where I actually talked more about that experience. And I'll put that at the end of this episode after I go back and find it. So wait till the end and I'll let you know where that is. Moving on to the next question. Hi, I love your podcast. I don't know anyone else who lucid dreams, so it's nice to hear about others' experiences. How often do you review your dream journal and why? Thank you. So, good questions. And by questions, I of course mean singular question, because there was only one. I only review my dream journal for like specific episode references. And that would be different if I wasn't doing a podcast. Like then I would probably just open it like every few months just for fun. It's not technically necessary that you go back and review dreams, but I do think that it's like relevant. Let's call it relevant, because otherwise it can be difficult to see your like progress in terms of lucid dreaming, and also just like in terms of differences in your dream content. So maybe you don't notice that like right now you're actively stressed or something, but then if you go back and look at previous dreams, you might be like, wow, these dreams are a lot calmer than the dreams that I've been having lately, or stuff like that. That's just like interesting in terms of like mental health and also just like where you're at in your life. And that's not strictly related to lucid dreaming, but just in general, that is a resource that you should probably be taking advantage of, just in terms of like understanding yourself. And for me, I know that it's interesting to just to go back really far, because the dreams that I had when I was really young, when I first started the journal, which was in like, I think sixth grade, like the content of my dreams has not really changed all that much. Like there's still the same amount of like whimsical quality to my dreams, and that has not been altered even though I've gotten a lot older. And I like that. Like you guys have heard about all of my like insane dreams, and like I have a lot of content that's like very fantastical, and that's something that people have actually like messaged me and been like, hey, like, you know, I don't have like super exciting dreams, like I don't have dreams that are like yours, like and I get that, because it's not like I'd never dream about school or something, or like especially when I'm stressed I'll have like school dreams. But yeah, so what was I saying? Yes, okay, so I mostly review my dream journal for episodes, but when I go back I will often find dreams that I totally forgot about. which you will know if you recently listened to my, what's it called? My guest episode where I was on with Hawa from It's Just a Dream podcast. You need to go listen to that right now, because when I was a guest on her podcast, we had so much fun. It was such a good episode. I think it came out as like an hour and a half of content. And that's another reason I didn't record for my show, because I was on her show and it was awesome. So go listen to that episode. But for her episode, we were doing like a little scary dream episode. And she was like, you know, like bring dreams that are like scary or like nightmares or anything like that. And you guys know I don't write down dreams that I have that are scary. I don't write down nightmares because I don't want to encourage them to come back. And I don't want to like embrace that kind of dark side of dreaming and stuff. So I had to look really hard to find a dream that was like scary enough to bring. And I found a dream that was not even from like a super long time ago. Like it was within like the last year or something. And I was like, oh my gosh, I totally forgot this happened. And like, it was a good story. So go and listen to that story, because I'm telling you, it's good. But it's helpful. It's cool to go back and look at old stuff. And I do think you should do it, although it is really not like necessary. It's not, because at the end of the day, it's not going to like, I don't know, it's not going to prevent you from lucid dreaming or anything like that, but it might help you. So there are benefits to it. There aren't any drawbacks. So I would encourage you to do it, but it really is not something that you must do. However, writing down your dreams is something that you must do. And if I hear one more person complain about that anywhere online, I'm going to lose my mind. Because no one ever wants to do it. People are like, I don't want to, like, I just don't, it's too much time out of my day, all this stuff. It's like, dude, it's literally not. Like, put bullet points and just write down something. I promise it's not that much. For me, it is, because I write down all the little details, but you don't need to do that. Just write down something. It's better than writing down nothing. So, third question, okay? I've always known when I'm in a dream, but it's hard for me to control it. I just want to be able to control myself. As an example, run faster. Do you have any tips? Yes. Okay. So I can remember that in the very beginning of when I was like becoming more interested in the fact that lucid dreaming was something that other people did, there was a lot less control that I had. And I really just kind of existed in dreams like all the time. And that's still something that I do, but like that was the main portion of dreams. And other than flying, that was like it. So this is like a journey that I myself have gone on, and just like learning the control aspect, which is something that for like natural lucid dreamers is kind of the issue, because they already know how to lucid dream, like, right? Like me and this listener, like we know how. That's not the problem. We can get into the dream just fine. It's once you're there, like, okay, now what? So I know that this might sound a little bit weird, but I think that it kind of comes down to like your relationship with the dream. And what that means is like, for me, okay, I've talked about this on the show as well. Like in the beginning, my reactions from NPCs in the dream were much more hostile than they are modernly. Like I previously had far more negative reactions and far more like, what's it called? Oh my goodness. Indifferent. I had much more indifferent reactions than I get now. And like now, modernly, pretty much everyone in the dream that's not me just wants me to have fun and like support me. And it's like a very good environment. And that did not used to be that way. Like that's something that I actively worked on and like had to do purposefully. And part of that is just like, it's so stupid, but it's like, I was like really nice to the dream and I like appreciated the dream. And I was like, this is great. And like, I had like a very positive outlook on things. And it's like, you almost have to like invite it to work with you. And instead of viewing it as like, oh, this is a thing I can't do, like it's really hard, you almost have to view it as like what it is, which is a skill. Like you need to be like, no, like this is something I can do. It's just that it's a skill And I have to essentially put in the hours, like the literal hours, to figure it out. And I specifically remember when I talked on the show about the first time I was able to just create something in a dream, which was like this tiny light. Like I made this little star in a dream, and it was like insane because I have never done something like that before. And there was the other first where I was like up on the stage in the park singing, and like I created an audience to come see me because there was nobody there and it was just me by myself. And it's like these kinds of things are very like isolated things. These things are like very isolated incidents for me. Like I don't do a ton of like the big kind of like flashy creative stuff that a lot of people do in lucid dreams, because I really just enjoy kind of being there and like flying around and like telling stupid jokes. Like that's kind of my style, I guess, of lucid dreaming. But in terms of control, it really is like confidence is a big part of it, of just like not even like necessarily just self-confidence, just confidence in the fact that you actually can do it. Like there's nothing in your way that's like there that you can't move, because nothing is real there. So you just have to realize that like ultimately you can do whatever you want to do, and even if you're having a hard time doing it, that doesn't mean that it's impossible, and it doesn't mean that you'll never be able to do it. It just means that for some, like for whatever reason right now, you can't. And you should also realize that sometimes it's not even an issue of like your ability to do that, of like your confidence or whatever. It could just be that the dream is really unstable because you're having a dream right before you're waking up or something, and so it's actually impossible because the dream is too unstable to do anything, because you're just going to wake up in 2 minutes. So that's also something to keep in mind, because no one can control those dreams to the level of control that we think of as control. It's like you can influence it, but that dream's going to end and things in there are not working right. Like physics is probably falling apart. You might feel sick and dizzy, and like things are not good because you're going to wake up. So keep that in mind as well. But control is something that takes time to learn, even if you're someone who's been lucid dreaming for a long time. And I was lucid dreaming, like I've been lucid dreaming as long as I can remember. And at the very least, that's got to be like first grade. So let's say I have been lucid dreaming. Gosh, how old are you in first grade? Five or six? Yes? No? Is that kindergarten? It doesn't matter. I literally work at a daycare and I don't know. I can't. I ask the kids, I'm like, how old are you? What grade are you in? Literally every day. And like, I'm such an airhead that like, tell me and I forget. And I ask them the next day. They're like, you asked me this already. And I was like, I know, but I just forget. Like the second you tell me, I'm sorry. It's just how it is. But you know, I've been lucid dreaming for a long time, guys. Like, let's call it at least 15 years. And I only, after like probably 10 years of that, was able to really like control things well. It took like a long time. And part of that was because I wasn't trying for a lot of the time. But also, even once I realized that I wanted to learn to do stuff, it's like you have to kind of puzzle it out in your head, just like doing it. And practice really is the answer in this case, other than your mindset. So just like get there and like put in the hours and don't be negative about it and don't lose heart, because you will figure it out. Like you have your whole lifetime to figure it out. And that's a lot of sleep, because I'm assuming you're sleeping every night for a good amount of time, because that's the best way to lucid dream, is actually sleeping the correct number of hours for your body that you need. And that'll like give you the tools to get there. And once you have the tools, you just gotta wait it out. You just gotta wait it out. And then you just gotta kind of get into the dream and figure out how to will stuff into existence. And for me, that has been a lot of just expecting things to happen. And then it does. And it's been a lot of like just influencing the dream, not even directly, indirectly, like thinking like, you know, oh, it would be cool if something happened. And then like it does, because that's the relationship that I've built with my dreams over the years, of like this like dynamic of like it's very like supportive, and like I have a lot of fun just in and of itself with the dream. So it's good. It's a good experience. the last question that I want to answer is not one that I initially planned on doing this episode, but I just like found it in my phone because I had it saved. And it's a really good one, and I think it's relevant, and I want to talk about it. And the question is, how do you motivate yourself to continue trying to lucid dream when you go for weeks without one? And this is different, like, in context for each person, because obviously some people are trying to learn to lucid dream from not doing it at all, and some people lucid dream naturally. And in both of those cases, you can go a long time without having a lucid dream. Like, I just checked my dream journal, and the last one that I had written down is from, like, over a month ago. Like, it's been like a month and a half since I wrote one down. And part of that was because there was this one that was really cool that I didn't write down. Don't tell anybody that. But I just went back today and wrote it down. So I don't know when specifically that was. And I should have written that down on the day. Then I would know when it happened. But at the very least, I would estimate that it's probably been like 30 days since I had one that was like worth writing down for me. And so there are these periods where you don't have any dreams that are good, or you don't have any dreams that are successful, or maybe you just aren't having like dreams at all, like you stopped remembering them. Or maybe you're just not having lucid dreams and you're remembering non-lucid ones and you're like, wow, like I'm so stupid. Like, why didn't I realize that was a dream? All this stuff. But the thing is, you have to realize that like, this is a process. Like, the whole thing is a process, especially if you're trying to learn to lucid dream from nothing. Like, once you have that first lucid dream, then you've already proven that you can do it, okay? So when you're going from the first lucid dream and you're like, oh my gosh, I did it, and you're like riding this high for maybe like a week or two, and then you're like, wow, like, okay, I had one and now I'm not having any more, like, you have to realize that you went from zero to one, which is like an exponential increase. So you can't expect to have the first one and then just have them every single night. Like, that's just not realistic. And it's an expectation that a lot of people have, but you have to take a step back and be like, why would I go from zero to one every single night? Like, that would be insane. So you have to realize that because part of this process is like training yourself to kind of get into that mode of having lucid dreams all the time, it's not something that just happens from the first night. It's something that you have to continue to hone the skill, and you have to make that just a part of your daily life. Like, it takes a long time to form habits. We all know that habit making and breaking is very, very difficult to do. And lucid dreaming is just one more thing to kind of add to that category of things. It takes a lot of work, and it takes a lot of time to make that into something that happens a lot. And for natural lucid dreamers, they have like the same frustrations, but it's a little bit different because maybe you're a natural lucid dreamer, but for whatever reason, you go like months without having one. And that's happened to me before in times of like stress or something like that, where like I just won't have any lucid dreams. And it's like frustrating, and it also feels like a loss because, and that's something that I talked about in therapy at one point, is I was like, you know, I'm not lucid dreaming anymore, and that's a big loss for me. Not just like, I guess, kind of in like my conscious thoughts of like, oh no, I'm missing out on that, but also like emotionally, because for me it's a big emotional and like creative outlet. It's like a fun creative activity that I get to do, where I'll fly around and do whatever. Like, it's fun for me. It's like a hobby. And so losing that was really hard. But you just have to realize that, like, if you're someone who does it naturally, like, it's going to come back because it was there before, and it's not just going to not be there forever. Like, that makes as much sense as thinking that, like, after you do it one time, then it'll just keep going forever. Like, if something is happening, it'll continue to do that until something stops it for sure. Like, if it's going on and going on and going on, and then there's like a period where it's like a dry period and it's not there, like, it's going to come back. You just have to realize that. And you can't let it become this big source of stress for you. And you can't let it become this thing that like takes up space in your mind. Because if anything, you're just going to manifest that it's not going to come back. Like, you're going to create a problem that's not even there. So it's just a lot of unnecessary stress. And it's just something that you need to realize is a skill, and it's something that you have to work on, and it's something that if you put in the time to learn it and it's something that you're actively trying to do, then it's going to happen again. And if you're someone that it happens to naturally and you're like, oh my gosh, like, where did it go? Like, what's happening to me? Nothing is happening to you. Nothing is happening to you. It's going to be okay. It's going to come back. It always does. And then you'll be fine again. And you'll be like, wow, why did I just spend 4 months stressing about that when I just had 5 lucid dreams in 5 days after all that time? And I've talked specifically on here, and I've gotten a lot of positive feedback from a lot of listeners of like the lucid dreaming relationship with like hormones and like periods and stuff. Like, I've gotten a lot of good feedback on that. And I'm telling you guys, like, if anyone gets credit for that in this field, all right, it should be me. It should be me. And I'm not saying that other people have not proposed the same thing, but I'm telling you guys, I have thought that for a long time. And the longer I go on, I'm telling you, it really makes sense, because there's a lot of things that just like kind of line up with that. So there is definitely something to be said for like, well, for me, I think I've had 3 periods this year, which is yikes. But they always seem to coincide with this like big uptick in like lucid dreams and like how vivid dreams are. And it's like this very like specific thing. It's like a sign for me that I'm actually going to get my period, the ever elusive ghost. I'm like, oh my gosh, like maybe this month it'll happen. And then sometimes it does and sometimes it doesn't. But I'm like, well, I'm on some sort of cycle, even if there's nothing physical going on. So, and of course, by that, I just mean the actual period. I'm sure that inside the hormones and stuff are still cycling, but you know, externally, there aren't any signs. So moving past that bit of information, if you have any other like episode requests or anything that you want to send in, send those in. You can submit them on this episode. Please do this episode because this is the most recent one. Alternatively, go up to the most recent episode if this is way back in the past and submit them there, because I don't want to have to check back on like the episodes from a year ago, you know, just to see if you left a little question or something. So go up to whatever the most recent episode is where you can submit a question or a topic idea and submit it, send it in, and I will look at it. And if it's bad, I won't do it. I won't bully you. I just won't do it. And if it's good, then I will do it. So everybody wins no matter what. Thank you all so much for listening. Go and please listen to Hawa's episode that I did with her. It is her scary story showdown with Jen from the Dream On podcast, which obviously is me. And it's a really fun episode. It's super long. It's like 1.5 hours. So you guys have a ton of content and you'll really like it. I promise. It's funny and it's spooky. It's scary. It's for spooky season, October. So go enjoy that. And now I will go and look for the episode where I talked about the wild technique. Okay, adios. All right, everyone, I went back and I desperately tried to find the episode and I just couldn't for some reason, which is a good thing because it means that I have a lot of episodes. And going back, I was actually pretty impressed because I have a lot of good episodes in the catalog, guys. Like, I'm proud of this podcast. It's come a long way and things look really good. So that was good. But I couldn't find the episode. So if you find it, please submit that episode into the little episode like box on Spotify that I put at the bottom of the episode. So in Spotify, you can just like type something into that box. And if you know which episode that is, just let me know. Just type it in there and I'll mention it in the next episode that comes out. But in the meantime, this brings us in this episode to a close. Thank you all so much for your continued support over what has now been multiple years of the Dream On podcast. It's awesome. Thank you especially to my patrons who are on Patreon. They are still supporting me and they just appreciate the podcast and I just appreciate them. Like, dang, you guys are awesome. So Thank you to everyone who listens to the podcast. I hope you enjoyed yet another episode, and I hope that you have a good morning, a good night, whatever you're doing, do it well. And I will not see you guys next time, but you will hear me next time. And for like the final thing, real quick, I created a Dream On YouTube channel. So let me just go look at that real quick so I can tell you what it is. Okay, you know what? I'm just going to link it on this episode and then you guys can click to it. And I'm thinking that eventually I might release like video versions of podcasts on there. I might do like live streams on there. So please subscribe to it just so that I know how many people are actually interested in that. And then you'll get updates on that when I post stuff and I release stuff on there. So thank you guys so much, and dream on.